2. Mark chapter number 2. I want to take just a minute to point something out. I've been trying to teach my boys about what's right, trying to point them to somebody they can look to. I don't say to my two boys, you can look to that last preacher. It's right. That's a good man. It's a good man. I've been really hard on the last few weeks about what they're sneaking off trying to listen to on the radio, and the things they think's neat, things they think's cool. And one of them said to me here the other day, you told us that so-and-so's a good man, but he listens to that. And they said, you said, brother, so-and-so's a good man, but he's spitting that same stuff. And that made me go to my prayer place and cry and say, Lord, messed up. That's a good man right there, boys. You can watch that. You can follow after that. I felt just a pull in my heart to tell them, there's some men of God here. You can say they're walking the right walk, and it is right. I understand the world's pulling on them. I understand my boys are at them teenage years where everything looks exciting. But I want to tell you, you fall in love with this way, it'll get more exciting to you. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Mark chapter number 3, verse number 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. You can be seated. I want to, if the Lord will help me for a minute this morning, to preach on again and again and again. I was praying Monday afternoon, come down here empty, needing something from the Lord, telling Him I just would like to hear men of God preach to me this week. But there's something in me that makes me want to have something to preach. And I don't know if y'all understand that, but when there's not something stirring in my soul, when there's not something in this book that's coming alive to me, makes me worry. And so I was praying by my bedside and telling the Lord, I need you again. I long for you to whisper in my heart again. I long for you to touch me one more time. And I opened up the book and it begin to read and come across Mark chapter number 2. And it said, again, he entered in after some days. And I'll say, I'm glad we serve a God that will enter again. I'm glad we serve a God that'll come back around over and over and over again. I'm happy in my soul this morning that there is a God that will come by and come by and come by. I got to thinking about that, reading my Bible and pondering on them things. And I'm glad here in chapter number 2 that he came by again for a sinner. I see that he'd been gone a little while, but the Bible said he came back after some time and it was noise that he was in the house. I was thinking about that the other day and realized back in, I'm glad for the 90s, you all may not be excited about it and feel like the days were leaving out in the 90s, but it was that same middle of the summer in the 90s that God came again to a little bitty old church down in Jonesville, Kentucky, and revival broke out that day. There's some youngins got together to sing, and the revival broke out, and I was living down in Nashville, Tennessee, and they was praying for God to move, and that week while meeting was going on, I was living wild and living rough. But I want to tell you, on a Saturday night while meeting was going on, there's an old wretched boy come in one night and sat down on the third row, and the man of God got to preaching, and God came by again and helped him. And I was over there on the third row, and I didn't think anybody knew who I was or where I was and what I'd been doing. But God touched that man that day, and he began to preach. I don't know about some, I hear men say, I don't know what he preached that day I got saved, but I don't tell you, I know exactly what he's preaching that day. He's preaching Paul on the road to Damascus, and he got down there, that part where he said, and God struck him down, and that old man of God hit the floor, and about the time his knees hit the floor, conviction fell deep in my heart, and I realized God had came by and opened up my eyes and showed me I was a sinner and showed me I was wrong. And that little profession that I said I had, he tore that all to pieces, and he said, it's you that's lost tonight, and it's you that need to get saved. Now, I'll say after that, I can't tell you a whole lot that he preached, but I remember thinking, I wonder if he'll ever make an altar call. And after he got done preaching, they said, he said to that song leader, sing Amazing Grace, and they went to singing Amazing Grace, and I thought, I need to go to the altar, but then something in me said, don't go. You've already told him you're saved. You already told him you've been baptized. You already told him that you're in the family of God. And I said, then I won't go. And they sang Amazing Grace. I don't know if they sung it 10 times or 100 times, but when they got all done, the old man of God was walking back to the back door, and something in me said, if they'd have sang one more verse, I'd have went to the altar. And he turned back around that come that aisle and said, the Lord just spoke to me and said, sing one more verse. I won't tell you, I'm glad that the Lord came again and said, you need to get right and you need to get saved. I said, I can't go, won't go. I'll go out to the car and get away from this mess and away from this crowd. And I got out in that little bitty old Dodge, and I remember I was letting that girl, I was a dating drive, I sat in the passenger seat and shut the door, and the Lord came again right there, and there wasn't enough room in the seat, and he said, you need to get saved and you need to get right. I won't tell you, I'm every one of us here will say for sure in our heart, I'm glad the Lord came by again and again for me and pulled on my heartstrings. I thought, if I can get away from this preacher's daughter and get home and just be with mom and daddy, it'll be all right. And I walked in the door, and dad's on one end of the couch and I was on the other end of the couch, and God in between us. And he come back again and said, you need to get saved and you're going to hell and you gotta get right. I said, I'll go to the back bedroom and sleep it off, and in the morning it'll be okay. I went back there and turned the light off and turned it right back on, and the Lord said, I'm still here and you're still lost and you need to get right. I said, maybe in the morning it'll be okay, but I won't tell you, every time I close my eyes he came by again and said, you're on your way to hell. I don't know if I slept that night or not. I don't know if the daylight all of a sudden was there, and I got dressed, drove down that girl's house and said, I need you to send your brother on. And she said, mom and daddy won't allow that to happen. And I said, I've got to talk to you, and I won't tell you, there's somebody touching my heart and squeezing my soul. And I said to her, finally, I'm going to hell without God and I need to get right. And she began to weep and cry. I said, I can't drive any farther, but could you get me back to that church house. I didn't know I'd get saved praying anywhere. There's a drawing on my soul for that old altar, that old church. And I won't tell you, I walked in the door, grabbed a hold of that old preacher right in the middle of Sunday school and said, I'm dying and going to hell. And he said, go pray. And I won't tell you, I'm glad that morning, somewhere between 10 and 11, the Lord of heaven came again and marked me in this family. I said, bless his name that he come again. He'll do that. I don't tell you, I'm glad that he didn't, well, first time I turned him away, that he did not just stay away, but he came again. Oh, I'm glad that we serve a God that'll come by and come by and come by until he gets a hold of a sinner just right. I was a preaching in a revival meeting about a year ago, and there was a young lady, I think the first night of the meeting, she stood there with her baby and testified, and I thought, did all right, I did. But through the week, she just kept getting quieter and kept getting quieter. And long about Friday night, maybe Saturday night, while I was preaching, I seen her just about the time I was getting done. She came up to the altar, and I thought, she's needing help. And I preached about the time I got done. I went down to pray with her, and about the time I got there, she rose up and said, my heart's fixed. And I said, what do you mean? She said, 6 years ago, you was a preaching over here, and God got me under conviction, and I've been telling lie after lie and trying to convince folk I'm saved. She said, but this week God came again and showed me I needed him and told me what I was doing wasn't going to work. And she said, but tonight, it's fixed, it's settled, it's well in my soul. But he didn't leave me where I was at, but he came again. Well, I'm glad we serve a God that will come again. I was thinking about that, and I realized after I got saved, it wasn't the end of it. He's been coming ever since. He's been coming by where I was at and dealing with my heart and touching me in chapter number 3. The Bible said he came again into the synagogue and began to touch this man with a withered hand. I was wondering, that's about where I was at a lot of times. I was saved in the church, but there's some things he just need to fix up in me and work on me and touch on me and stir on me. But I got down in there and realized when he came that time, he came and got some disciples and ordained them. And I'm glad he came that day and called me when he did. I wasn't real happy about it then, but right now I'm real happy about him coming by again where I was and calling me to preach. I don't know if you all this way, but him calling me is just as real as when he spoke to my heart that I was lost. Me and my wife been married just a little while, and we was renting a little bitty old trailer. It's a 3-bedroom that somebody tore out the middle of all them little rooms and made it one big room. And she'd walk in the door on that side, and I'd walk in the door on this side, and there's a bed in the middle. And one night early up in the day, in the morning, I was laying asleep, and the Lord woke me up and called me to preach. And I remember saying, I can't do that. I don't even know the books of the Bible. I don't have a suit to wear. I cannot do that. And so for a long time I'd go to church and I couldn't feel him. I'd just sit there on the bench and folks get saved and I wouldn't feel God. And preachers preach and it'd do me no good. But we live in a little bitty old house. We moved in that time. And back in the garage, there's a little bitty old box back there, soundproof box. And I was up in the night one night working in that garage and opened that door and I thought it'd be a pretty good place to pray. And I thought that might work. And so I looked at it and studied it out a while. And I cannot build anything, but I found 2 4x4s and a board that was cut just big enough to fit from wall to wall. And I stuck them in the corner and stood back and looked at it and said, looks pretty good. And I thought, maybe I'll try to pray. Maybe I'll try to talk to God. And I got in that thing, closed that door and shut it real good. And I said, Lord. And he came by again and said, preach. And I got out and run, shut the door and said, cannot do it. Will not do it. I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to tell. But I won't tell you, about 2 weeks later, I crawled in that thing and said, God, if you'll come again, if you'll touch me and help me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. And he came in there that night and blessed my soul. I'm glad he's a God that'll come again. I was thinking about that now. That's good. But I'm ornery. I just am by nature. Just am. And so I started preaching, you know. I remember the first night I preached, I was supposed to preach a tornado come through and canceled service. And I said, well, I got out of that time. And I had to worry about it. The next Sunday I preached, I guess. I tried to. And so then I just started hitting, missing, you know. If they'll call me, a preach. If they don't call me, I won't worry about it. I hope y'all don't think bad about me. That's just me. Just who I was. Just, you know, who I was made up. But I want to tell you, sometime in, I guess, about 2099, 2000, somewhere in that range, my wife was pregnant with our first youngin, and I thought everything was going well, and I thought we was doing pretty good, and I was living pretty right. But over in the hospital, when the pain struck her, and the doctor looked at us and said, I'm sorry that I cannot help you anymore. That little baby's gone. I'm sorry that there's no help. I'm sorry. I wish I could do more. That I went out in the car and wept, and God hugged me and loved me and told me that he loved me. And I'll tell you about the next day I got her home and got in the car and was going to go get her something to eat. And I got in that car and I put it in reverse and I went to back out of that driveway and turned about like that. And there he was again. And he looked in my heart and said, what you want and what you won't do? And I didn't want a baby at the time. I said, Lord, I just want you. And I won't preach whatever you want me to preach. And believe it or not, something took place in that car between me and the Lord that changed everything about what I thought about preaching and where I thought about going. And this book got more important and this world got less important. And I'm glad it came again. You say, that's awful that he'd have to do that to you. I read over there in John this week where he told Peter three times, feed them. Feed them. It looked like he said, you got to come in that again and again, remind you. So I don't know about you all, but I'll never want to get behind that board without him first coming again to me and whispering in my heart of what to preach and what to say and what to do. I need him. Now I won't tell you, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't wait that long, because every time I step behind this board now, as I walk up here, there's a little bitty old youngin that runs through my mind that I realize the Lord had to take and the Lord had to remove. And I won't tell you, I guess that youngin somewhere about 14 would have been. And I don't see it. I don't hold it, because God had to come again. My dear wife, I'm loving her more all the time. All the time. But I won't tell you, I don't know how long it was. I told the Lord all that night driving down the road in the car about what I wanted and what I needed from him and what took place in there. And somewhere I got back at the house and my wife, I walked in the door and my wife said, Brother Milby's called. I said, what do you want? She said, I think this was Monday. He said if you felt like it at all and could, he'd like for you to come on Wednesday. And there's something in me said, boy, I want to, because God's came. But somewhere, I don't know how many months it was, over at our home church, she stood up one night and God touching her. And she said this. She said, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. And she is crying. She said, and being so good to me. She said, he's been so good to me. And she said, I want to thank him for taking our baby, that he might work on my husband and help him to preach. I want to tell you, he showed up again that night in my soul and gripped it. And I want to tell you, he let me love her more than I think I've ever loved her that moment. That she was willing to say, I'm glad God took it so that he could give him. I want to tell you what, he'll show up again. He'll show up again. He'll help us. And he'll tell. I was thinking about that this morning, no doubt in the crowd this size. There's some of you doubting and some of you struggling. And some of you saying, I don't know. I don't know. But I want to tell you, He'll show up again right in the middle of your doubt, and He'll show up again. And if you doubt tomorrow, He'll show up again. And if you doubt next week, He'll show up again. He did it for Thomas, did He not? They was all gathered together, and Thomas wasn't there. And he said, I'll not believe until I see the nail prints and the piercing of the side. And he came again and said, Thomas, here you go. I want to tell you today, if you're doubting and trouble, He'll show up and help you. I'm not going to fault you too bad. I'm not going to say too much about you. It just may be how you're made up. But I want to tell you, He knows you and He loves you, and He'll come again. He'll help you again and again and again. I've got a bad temper. I say my temper's been let loose more than some people's doubt has. I'd say my mouth has overrun my thought process way more than some people's ever doubted. And He's come again. He's come again. We'll say folks ought not doubt. But I want to tell you, Lord loves them just like He loves them that don't doubt. He'll come again. He'll come again. I was thinking about that this week. And my heart's really hurting right now. I got three girls in my church, teenage girls. They're 13, 14, and 15. And their names are Elizabeth and Autumn and Jacqueline. And two of them I know have been praying for at least a year and a half to get saved. Just weeping. They'll come to the altar and weep. But in the last month or two, I've seen their look change. I've seen that unconcernedness seem like. I seen the power of God move in there, and no more tears. No more seems like it bothers them. No more seems like it troubles them. There's some folks in the last week or two that's come to the altar while conviction, I felt like conviction was there, and they sit there like they did not care. And I don't tell you, I've been in my room this week saying, God, I need You to come again. I need You to come down where they are and melt their hearts, and don't let the world get them. I don't tell you what we need is God to come back in our churches again and let His power move in there. I don't tell you, singing's good, testifying's all right, but I sure would like the power of God to come in and grip sinners' heart and melt them and show them just how deep in sin they are and how much they need the Lord. We need Him. We need Him. There's a girl in my church. She's been on the altar for a while. Brother West's niece. She comes every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. But her makeup is that she just does not trust anything. She just doesn't. She'd come in from the outside and you'd say, the sunshine. She'd say, I don't know. And you could say to her, did you have a good meal this morning? She'd say, I don't know. And I'll tell you, she comes to that altar and weeps. And I feel like God gets so close to her, but she just won't trust Him. And I keep saying, Lord, I need You to come again. I need You to come back to her again and show her again how much You love her, and show her again. And He knows, and I believe He's going to. There's an old boy, young boy, I think Alex is 11 or 12 years old, and he's coming to the altar. I've seen him now come to the altar two times and pray so long that when he got up he couldn't walk, and his daddy's helping him back to the bench. But he's going back lost. He'd come to the altar wanting God and going back lost. I've been wondering, but Alex's life has not been good. He's the folks that have him now. They're good parents. They've adopted him and they love him. But Alex's young life was not good. Alex was abused and mistreated. And I just think there's something in him that's hard and wondering, can I really trust the Lord? Can I really trust Him? Will He not do me wrong? You say He can, but I won't tell you. His life has not been that. His life has been one turmoil after another. One beating after another. One hard time after another. And I keep saying this week, Lord, won't You come again? Alex needs You to hug him. Alex needs You to love him. And if He'll come by again, it'll work. We need Him to come by. We need Him to help us. I don't tell you, conviction's not enough. We need some saving power to come in the church house. I asked Him this week, I read verse number, chapter number 4, and the Bible said, and He began again to teach. We're about to lose a bunch. They're just, I've not been saved long, but this year I've been to the funerals of some of my heroes. This year I've been in them places where them men of God that seemed like they could pull power down and seems like they could pray when sinners were on the altar, and they're gone now. I went to a deacon sat by and by his bedside not long before he died who'd pray when sinners got on the altar. Not praying, talking to them, but talking to God. And something about pulling that presence down. I don't know. I guess y'all understand what I'm trying. When I first got saved, there was folks when sinners got on the altar could pray and just keep the atmosphere right. And about time some sinner's about to give up, it felt like they reached into heaven and pulled it down again and said, "You can have this if you want it." I hope you understand. And I ain't seen that in a long time. I understand there's a whole lot of older men that's gone or will be gone before very long just by natural age, just by wearing out. And I'm not as young as I used to be. But I realize there's a whole lot I don't understand. There's a whole lot I don't know that they know. That they've been through and that they've walked down. And the love they have for sinners. And the love they have for this way. And I don't tell you, it worries me some. But I read chapter 4. And it said, and he began again to teach. And I just think he'll come again and teach us if we'll let him. I think he'll come by and help us. I'll tell you what, I got this old Bible and I love this book, and this is the Bible they gave me when they ordained me, and it was getting kind of rough, and it was starting to fall apart, so I laid it aside a while back and said, "I don't want to mess that one up any worse. And I won't keep it right." But there's something in it, that new one I got, just, it's a good Bible, it's the right Bible, but it just doesn't feel right in my hand. I hope you understand that. So I pulled this one back out the other day and said, "Lord, I want you to teach me this Bible right here. I want you to teach me how to walk and how to talk. I want you to teach me how to be a preacher and be a man. I want you to teach me once again on how to love my I want you to teach me how to walk with my boys." You see, there, when I went to my church, there was not one teenager in there. None of them were teenagers. But now I got several teenagers. And I'm facing things that I never thought I'd face. And things that I never thought I'd have to do. But I need them again. And he'll teach us. I want to tell you what. There's some folks I love to talk to, and I'm going to talk to my preacher about some things when I get home, just been troubling me, wondering about it, and questions that I have. But I want to tell you, I believe if we'll let Him, He'll come again and teach us. Well, there's some things we need to learn. There's some things we need to know again. We don't live nearly as holy as we think we do. Not nearly. Not nearly as holy. I thought I was doing pretty good a couple weeks ago. And I got this Bible and said, "Lord, I want to teach my folks about the Lord's Day." Teaching our adult Sunday school class, I said, "I want to teach them about the Lord's Day." And while I was trying to study to teach them about the Lord's Day, He just crumbled me all to pieces and showed me everything I was messing up about the Lord's Day and how much I was disrespecting the Lord's Day. And I'll tell you, I hope y'all don't think bad of me about that. I just thought I was doing pretty good, you know. I thought I was going to church on Sunday morning. We was there for Sunday school, there for church. And second, fourth Sunday night now, we was coming to church. I was there on Wednesday. But I won't tell you, He's made the Lord's Day precious to me in the last few weeks. I won't tell you what, I'm so glad that on Sunday morning I can get up and go worship Him and praise Him for what He's done and what He's going to do for us one day after a while. And I don't want to mess up the Lord's Day anymore. I don't want to. I'll tell you what, I told my church, I said, I'll make sure, I apologized to them for not being a good preacher the other day, and I said, I'll make sure on Saturday night the gas tank's always full as it needs to be for anywhere we need to go. I'll make sure every grocery that I know can be bought. I'll make sure everything's all said and done, that I don't have to do nothing. It's the Lord's Day. Well, we need Him to teach us on that again. We've not disrespected it. We think 10 to 12 is the Lord's Day. But I want to tell you, the whole day is His. And I'm glad He's taught that to me. I hope that doesn't bother you all. But I want to tell you what, we've just not disrespected the Lord's Day so much. And it'd be good for Him to teach us again on how precious it is. How wonderful it is. I want to tell you, it's more to it than not working. It's more to it than that. There's a whole lot of things that ought to be coming across our remembrance on that day. A whole lot of things that ought to be crossing our mind. And I'm glad He'll teach us again if we want Him to. I don't know. I told Brother Milby this one time. I guess I'm about done. I said, I want that Philadelphian age. I do, in my heart. I said, I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know the generation I grew up in. It's capable of it. But I want it to be. I want to weep for sinners. I want when folks walk away from the church it to make me cry. I want to give. I want to tell you what, I got saved 1990. And somewhere I guess at 91, 92, I heard about the first preacher that I ever knew of going bad. And everybody that I knew was crying. Everybody that I knew said, did you hear? Brother so-and-so, not gossiping. Just heartbroken, weeping, crying because God's man had failed. But nowadays we talk about it and it's in passing thing. We talk about it, it's no big deal, but it is. I'll tell you what, when one falls on, it is a big deal. Oh, I wish we'd once again get shaken and God would come by and teach us how precious preaching is, how important it is to how important it is to the church. I won't tell you, I love preaching. Not just what I'm doing. I love men of God that'll preach and reach down. I was thinking last night watching Brother Terry from up here. He's one of my heroes. And I thought in his age group, there's not many left and probably none coming. We ought to think it's precious. I told the Lord last night, Lord, I want to be just like that right there. I don't want to act just like Him, but I want to preach with a touch on me like that. And I said, if You'll teach me, if You'll reach into my heart and stir it, I don't tell you what, I don't believe either one of these men of God preached last night. I don't think they found all that in a book somewhere. I don't think, well, they may have found it in a book. But they didn't find it from reading on the internet. And they didn't find it from running around town. I believe they got it somewhere back yonder, asking the Lord to put it in the heart. That's the only way I know how to preach. I don't really know. I never learned in school how to study. I guess somewhere about fourth grade, fifth grade, I just quit listening and got to thinking about other things. So I don't know how to study really. I really don't. But I found out if I take this book, go somewhere by myself and get off yonder with just me and the Lord. A lot of times I just lay it on my toolbox up there while I'm working and I'll go work and I'll come back and I'll read that thing again and I'll go work and that Bible right there has got about as many grease marks in it as anything, but He's teaching me some things. I'm glad He'll come again and help us. I know we're right down here at the end. I know there's days coming. It's going to be tough. But I believe He'll teach us how to get through them. I believe He'll show us how to act. I believe He'll show us what to do. I've been asking Him for a while now, Lord, if we can't worship in church, if we can't worship in my church someday, teach me where we can. Show me where we can go. Show me a spot where I can. I don't know many caves in my country. I know one, maybe two. But I said, Lord, if we have to, teach me how to set the rocks up in there for folks to sit down on that we can preach to them again. I'll tell you what, when the days run low and they get dark, I told him, I said, Lord, I just believe You'll save sinners right up to the end. Don't you all believe that? I believe right until the end He'll save sinners right up while this world goes crazy. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't go to church on Sunday morning. I'd just quit. But I don't tell you, there's a host of them. I really tell you the truth. I was over there this morning, the Lord come by in my room there and bless my heart, He was there. And I thought to Him, I told Him, I said, Lord, I want to go here on church the morning, but I've got something stirring in my soul for Sunday morning and I've got a longing to get there. I was happy about being here, but there's something that's a draw in my heart towards home. And there's some boys and girls that I'm longing to preach to and ask the Lord to come again and help us. I'll say this, and you all can explain it a whole lot better than I can. I know for certain, He said in John, I'm coming again. Oh, don't you have a longing for that? These days of meetings, these times of coming here and hearing men of God preach and seeing a draw. But boy, there's something about that drawing of Him coming again. There's got something in me that's got me looking more toward home. I'll tell you what, there's some folks sitting here this morning, no doubt, that are widowed. I want to tell you, He'll come again and help you. He's not going to leave you alone. And I'll tell you, there's a great day coming. There's a resurrection day coming. There's a time, but we're coming by again. And He's coming back, and I'm thanking the Lord for that. I'm glad He'll come again and again.
I'm done preaching. Thank you.